I always enjoyed the type of deals he made for himself, where he'd have a rented car available to him as part of his contract and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
How about the, I know you like Gary Bell and his wife very much.
Yeah, Gary and Nan.
Yeah.
Real characters.
Is he, I don't imagine he's active in the game now, is he?
No. He's down in Texas, and he's got his own sporting goods company.
And I enjoyed some of your comments about Gene Brabander.
Yeah.
The big guy.
He used to make blowguns with a pipe and a coat hanger, a little wire from a coat hanger, and you'd walk in the locker room door and thunk, and you'd look above your head, and about a foot above your head in this board, he would bury this he'd be shooting this coat hanger right over your head. It was a frightening guy.
And it makes a fellow proud to be an Astro. How about Houston and
Larry Durker, yeah.
And Harry Walker,
yeah.
The manager, the hitting instructor.
Yeah. Harry Walker was always giving batting instructions, no matter where you were, dugout, bullpen, or even if you were in the coffee shop with your wife, he'd come over to your table and start telling you how to hit. And Harry, I'm having lunch here, Harry. I'm with my wife. We're having dinner. Save it for tomorrow. He'd be right out there in the aisle while the waitress is trying to put plates down on the table with his hands in the battings, and he'd show you how to hold your hands and how to stride. And you're trying to eat dinner.
You had a great outfielder there. At least the talent was there in that Cesar Cedeño.
Yeah.
He was really a talented ball.
Oh yeah.
I'm amazed that he didn't.
Houston Astros had a good team.
And of course, Doug Rader, who's now the manager out there on the coast.
Yeah.
At least I think he still is in California.
Yeah, Rader, Jimmy Wynn.
How do you react to, you know, the baseball wives and the effect they have on the teams? I mean, are they? I know you covered some of that in your books and everything. Do most of the wives get out to the ballpark to see the games, or?
I would say. Yeah. I would say about half of them.
Yeah.
You know,
they have enough interest in.
And the other half were, back home because they couldn't afford to come out. In my day, it wasn't easy to bring your family, it was very expensive.
Yeah.
And they didn't pay many of the expenses.
Well, even today, I mean, they usually wait until they have a good long homestand and then bring them up one or two homestands in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
If you would like to throw this out, how about your idea of. Your all-time team. You know, if you think about a team, you one or two or three pitchers that impressed you the most, managers that impressed you the most. In addition to Alk, you had Johnny Keene and Yogi Berra. Just curious about your reaction to them, and you gave me a pretty good rundown on Ralph Alk. How about Yogi? Did you?
I like Yogi. I thought he was a good manager, and he never got credit for that.
Certainly,
and he was successful with the Yankees, and he won a pennant with the Mets, too.
Oh, no question.
If you take Yogi's two pennants in, what did he manage, 3 or 4 years, something like that?
No, he was only a manager for three years.
Okay, if you take two pennants in 3 years and project that over a 20-year career, he'd been the greatest manager in the history of baseball. He never really got a chance. But he was very good. Nobody thought Yogi was that good a manager when he won the pennant with the Yankees in 64, because we had already won it in 63. But in 65, they realized what a good job he had done. That was an old team.
How about Johnny Keene?
Keene was the wrong guy for the wrong team. He was a religious man, and very straight-laced, and a little bit aloof.
Mm-hmm.
And
different temperament.
Yeah, different temperament. And now he joins a party team. It has no moral scruples whatsoever. We didn't need maybe a district attorney or a warden or Ralph Houck or a Marine. We needed something different. We did not need a Sunday school teacher.
And who would you, again, thinking in terms of the best ball players that you saw in your time in the majors, who would you say was your best third baseman?
Oh my goodness! You mean that I?
That you would pick if you had an all-time team.
On the team that I?
Not necessarily.
In other words, my teammates or on other teams?
On other teams, your opponents as well. It's just you know, I figured somebody must have jumped out at you at each position, more or less.
To tell you the truth, I really never gave that much thought. Yeah. And if I made up a team, I'm sure it would be just spur of the moment, and I would leave guys out, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't, I never really, I rarely thought about players and how good they were as players.
Yeah.
I just, you know, to me that was almost incidental.
From the way you speak, you're more interested in the people.
So, names don't come to me as great players. They come to me as, if you told me who were the 10 greatest guys I ever played ball with, I could give you a list right away.
Well, I'd like to know that. I think...
Tommy Davis.
Yeah.
Phil Lentz.
Uh-huh.
Gary Bell.
Uh-huh.
Steve Hovley. Mike Marshall. Steve Hamilton. I like Yogi. Norm Miller, I liked. Doug Rader.
Well, he must have been quite a character.
I liked Doug Rader a lot. Yeah. He was probably the biggest character I ever met in baseball. And he never got credit for being such a character out in Houston, but if he had been in New York, he would be legendary.
Yeah.
Well, he's a legend in Houston, but being a legend in Houston is not the same thing.
Well, now, how about your attitude toward your children? Now, didn't you have, is it one son and two daughters?
Two sons and a daughter.
Two sons and a daughter.
Yeah.
Are they interested in playing ball, or do they have anything?
No, they had no interest in it.
Uh-huh.
No, my eldest son was not interested in baseball. Well, we played, you know, wiffle ball in the backyard, and I would pitch to the kids, and they'd hit the ball with a plastic bat and stuff like that. They played Little League baseball, but they didn't really take to it.
Yeah.
My eldest son was interested in ballet when he was a kid, and so he went to a lot of ballet and was in the Nutcracker and other things. It was
uh-huh.
a very...
How old is he?
Michael today?
Yeah.
28.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But when he was, 8, 9, 10 years old,
uh-huh.
11, 12, 13.
And how old is your other son?
Interested in ballet. My other son is 27.
Mm-hmm.
David, he was interested in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, Lori, who's 25, mm-hmm. will be 26 pretty soon, was interested in gymnastics.
Uh-huh. Any of them married?
None of them are married.
Uh-huh.
None of them have kids yet.
So
hopefully.
Well,
we'd like him to get married first and then have kids in that order.
Obviously.
Preferably.
Well, now you were playing...
but at some point we'll take him in any order.
I'm sure. Son who was adopted as a Korean orphan, I believe, wasn't...
Yeah, his mother put him up for adoption.
Right.
In Korea.
Right.
We adopted him. We got him when he was 4 years old. We started the process when he was three, but it took about a year.
But he has had no trouble adjusting at all to life as he grew up here.
I guess normal stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean,
he's not a problem for him as he got older.
I don't think so. I think the only problem he had with that was that he has some yearnings to connect with his roots. And find his mother, but it's not so easy to do that.
Right. Did he ever find her?
No, he never found her. We wrote some letters and we tried to make contact, but we haven't been able to do that.
And you wound up, I don't know whether you're still doing it, but weren't you playing ball here in that?
I still play. I play in the Metropolitan League.
Yeah, where do they play most of those games?
We have two teams in Clifton.
Right.
Hackensack.
Uh-huh.
Moonaki. Emerson.
What do you have, about two games a week?
Glen Rock. Yeah, about three games
three
a week.
Games
we have
a
40-game schedule.
Uh-huh.
June, the middle of May to the middle of August.
Still fun for you?
Oh, yeah. It's great fun. I have a wonderful time. I'm out there and throwing my knuckleball.
Is there some talent there that
young guys
that want to try to make it?
Yeah. It's a very good league. It's like it's like an old semi-pro league, only nobody gets paid.
And it's fairly
well
organized.
Very well organized.
Yeah.
Sponsors and uniforms and umpires, and it's somewhere between college and professional. It's better than the local college teams because most of our players, I'd say half of them, have played professional baseball at some time or another. They go away for a year or two and come back.
Or been playing in college, maybe.
So we get the really good players who stayed around and didn't turn pro. We get the minor leaguers who came back.
Yeah.
And there are always a few college kids that play in the league. But they're only really the better college players.
Yeah.
So scouts come to the games because if these college kids look good in our league, it gives them an idea that these college kids are pretty good because it's a very good league.
I always thought the college kids in this area are at a great disadvantage as compared to college kids in the Southwest and California because they play a limited schedule, bad weather.
Yeah.
I was amazed, you know, when I see Columbia, for example, they have a kid like that guy, Gene Larkin, playing for Minnesota. He must have been pretty good, you know, to make the majors from Columbia, where they have to study, and, you know, there's no scholarship for baseball in Columbia.
Right. Yeah.
Jim, you know, one of the things I didn't ask you was about your ballparks that you played in. Did you have any favorite parks that you enjoyed more than others?
Yeah, I liked Fenway Park most of all,
because
it was small, and it was a real challenge to keep Yastrzemski from hitting the ball, slapping the ball off that left field wall as a left-hander, and to keep the right-handers, you know, from Frank Malzone to Dick Stewart, you know, to keep them from pulling the ball. So it was a real challenge to pitch there because the park was so small. And also the fun part about Fenway Park is that the stands were close to the field. And
you could hear the fans.
You could hear the fans.
Like Evansfield.
You could hear personal insults. You could be standing right on the mound and you'd hear some guy holler some, you know, ridiculously funny obscenity about you or your, you know, your heritage. And you'd have to start laughing during the game. My greatest game in Fenway Park, I pitched a two-hit shutout there one afternoon, a two-hitter. And this was during the heyday of Dick Raddatz, the relief pitcher for the Red Sox, and his trademark was to come off the mound with his hands raised triumphantly over his head. That was the Raddatz trademark. So after I shut out the Red Sox on a Sunday afternoon, I came off the field and I gave the Raddatz trademark. And they were booing and throwing stuff, and boy, they were really, I was getting them all heated up. Like I was appropriating, I was stealing Raddatz's trademark.
The Yankee Stadium, they could hit that ball to center and right center.
And they could hit it nine miles.
That was a pitcher's ballpark, for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you were a right-handed pitcher, you had to deal with some left-handed pull hitters.
Yeah.
And how about some of the other fields?
Let's see. I liked
Detroit.
I loved Detroit.
The fans were close there too.
Fans were close there. It was a wonderful challenge to pitch there because the stands were pretty, you know, pretty close in left and right field. There were the contours of the stands followed the contours of the field. There wasn't a big circular like they have these modern stadiums now. These big circles with a square in the middle, and you have these ovals of these half circles of wasted space. The old parks, like Tiger Stadium, was square, so that the ball field fit right down in there, and everybody had a good seat. And it was a beautiful stadium. Everything was painted green, dark green seats, dark green pillars. Everything was dark green. The field itself, grass, light green, and the dirt, a wonderful brown with white lines. Now you could just visualize, those are the only four colors in the ballpark. Dark green, light green, brown, and white. And it was such a wonderful contrast. To walk out to the field before a game with nobody in the stands, and see this wonderful dark green all around you, light green grass, brown dirt, and white lines accenting the whole thing, and the white bases, it was just beautiful.
There's an oddity about that. You know, everybody said Comiskey Park was the oldest current park, you know, at the time it was torn down recently. But actually, the site at which Tiger Stadium is the oldest, because they were playing ball there long before there was ever an American League.
Yeah, it was Brick Stadium.
I don't remember, I think originally they called it Bennett Park, but although they moved the plate around a few times, that park was originally a wooden ballpark, I think they even played there when Detroit was in the National League.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. How about the ones...
Yankee Stadium was a classic, of course. It was wonderful to play ball in Yankee Stadium. The fondest memories I have of Yankee Stadium are Sunday afternoon before a ball game, running in the outfield while the loudspeaker, public address, is playing classical music. Played these wonderful Gershwin tunes and classical music, and it was marvelous to be running out there to the